All right, then. Well, let's start with what's your musical background?
Great. Musical background is that I've played guitar since I was six, guitar and piano, and I played in many rock and roll bands in my teenage years, and then as I got into my college years, I was double major acting and music. In and around my junior year, I decided of the two crazy professions that music was my passion, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. So I continued on, studied music, and got my degree at California Institute of the Arts here in SoCal, and in composition. And since that time, I've done a lot of television work, and in the early 90s, was lucky enough to graduate and start doing some movies.
Mm-hmm. So what first inspired you to write film and television music?
I needed to make a living. You know, I had just gotten married and had was having babies coming. I've got three great boys who are now grown, and or in the process of. And so it was just nuts and bolts trying to make a living as a musician in Los Angeles, which at the time was a difficult road. But I was very fortunate that I through a lot of hard work, started to work a lot, and eventually started doing a lot of television shows, and that was sort of my life during the 80s, to be quite honest, was doing a lot of television. Again, figuring out around the early 90s that if I was going to try to make my jump into features, it should be soon. That's exactly what I did, and one of my first studio movies was a thing called Hocus Pocus, mm-hmm. over at Disney, with Bette Midler, this kind of crazy Halloween witch movie, which some of your female audience might remember. It's a fun comedy that
yes.
did then.
All right, well, what's the first thing you do when you begin to write a score?
The very first thing I do is I usually stress out about it for the first day. And you can imagine, it's like a painter. It's a work for hire. It's like, okay, you've got 3 weeks to write to draw this painting, and it's got to be great, and there you go. So there's a little of that that always goes on when I'm attempting and starting something. But then I sort of sit at the piano, and I start noodling and start writing some ideas down on paper. And I usually start from the place of thematic material and what I'm, you know, trying to achieve in terms of the character themes, et cetera. And that's what I do first.
Okay. So what are the considerations that go into writing a main title theme?
Well, that's a good question. It's different with every movie. Sometimes there are no main title themes, as it were, because there aren't main title sequences for every movie. And speaking of The Passion, there's not really a main title section. It just starts, which I think is lovely. The movie just starts.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I didn't, in this case, have to write a main title theme. In the case of The Passion, I sort of gleaned early on that my feeling was that Mary was, Christ's mother Mary, was central to the film, in that my feeling is that we as an audience see the events and see her pain becomes our pain, etc. Through her eyes we see what's, you know, the events. And so I thought early on it would be really crucial for me to try to find Mary's music or Mary's theme. So that's really what I strove to find first, I would say. Actually, I take that back. The very first thing I was asked to do was to write the trailer music.
Oh, yes.
And interestingly enough, without going into great detail, that was the first thing Mel heard, and I think probably that's the reason he hired me. And that's the trailer music that we all have been hearing and living with for the last month or so, the trailer music that one hears in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of gratifying that he sort of took a liking to that, and through that I think he invited me to the party. And then somewhere in that first month or so, I happened upon Mary's theme. I didn't happen upon it, actually. It's a great story. Through a lot of prayer to Mary, I turned the focus of my prayer for her music, obviously, to her.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, I was having trouble getting her theme. And once I started praying directly to Mary, she blessed me with some music that I woke up with after a few days I remember of fervent prayers to her at night. I woke up with a little tune in my head, and that became her theme. And the lyrics were also in my head that when I woke up, and I tell people, it's the honest truth, that I feel she gave me a gift, and that was her music. And what it is, when people hear it, I hope they'll get a kick out of it and realize that it's a lullaby. I tell people I'm not clever enough to have conceived of what Mary's music would be, and I firmly believe that she gave me this music, and it's in 3/4 tempo, and it's a lullaby, and I like to think it's a lullaby that she would have sung to the baby Jesus, and also sung to him when he comes off the cross. And when you and your listeners can see the movie, I hope you know, whoever's hearing my voice will realize that that's what that music is. So it was very powerful for me to sort of get that gift from her. And once Mel heard it, he was in tears, which was a huge coup for me, because I figured if I could make, you know, a man's man like Mel tear up, then we had something there. And that's what the music is that you'll hear in the movie.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, obviously, Mary's theme, but what considerations actually go into the character themes other than just having maybe divine intervention?
Well, no, that's a good question. It can be very elusive. It's hard to put into words. I will sit and, depending on whatever theme or character I'm trying to work with, sometimes these said themes come easily. Sometimes they're very difficult, and I'll have 3 or 4 little ideas. And my criteria is that if the little thematic threads or ideas that I come up with, if they stick with me after a couple of days and I still like them, then I know that there might be some merit to whatever those are. Mm-hmm. Meaning that there's something about them that sort of stick with one, and they maybe that they're meant to be in the movie. They, in other words, that they fit the movie or they fit the character well. Many themes I'll discard after a day or so, and I'll at first think that they're great, and then I realize, no, they're not so great. So it's quite frankly trial and error. Once I get a couple of ideas that I like, I'll present them to the director, and many times they'll like them or not, and then I'll go back to the drawing board. So it's a process, really.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's take a little bit of a look at your early work. Some of your early work is, in fact, most of your early work is in television. What are the main differences do you find between scoring for movies and TV?
I would say the main differences are that television, I always tell younger composers that television work can be incredibly wonderful because it is very fast and furious, but there aren't a lot of people looking over your shoulders, to be quite frank. I mean, the process with television and series work is that we'll go in and we'll sit down, let's say on a Monday, and I will sit with the director and a couple music folk, and or the writer or the editor. Could be, you know, a number of people in the room at that time. We'll sit and spot the movie or the television episode, and that means that we sit and we all agree where the music starts and stops, and that's called spotting.
Mm-hmm.
And then in television, a week later, I'm recording the music, hopefully with an orchestra or what have you, or with live musicians, and then you're done, and then it's on the air. So in one sense, it's quite liberating because there isn't a lot of time for people to say, well, I don't know about that beginning of that piece of music, and you know what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. that it's sort of fast and furious, but it's also kind of fun because one can hone their skills as a musician that, you know, that you have to have a lot of discipline when you're doing TV. But it's also quite fast, furious, and fun because of those same reasons. In film, it's a lot different because the stakes are a lot higher. You have a lot more cooks in the kitchen, as it were. You have potentially a lot more people that you have to please. So it's a lot different process. It's like making a record, I would imagine, that you're working on sometimes one piece of music for a long time until it's just perfect. And it's a lot more sort of, you're more concerned with the minutiae in film than you are in television. So the process is the same, but it's the length of time and the amount of fussing that everybody does with it.
Well, now you've done your share of animated films, specifically a lot for Disney. What do you find the differences are between composing animated films as opposed to live action?
Well, good question. I think that animation and comedy in general, in my opinion, these two genres are the toughest things to write music for because they're just relentless, and one has to have a lot of, you know, knowledge of technique and style and what have you. And it's so it can be the hardest and most daunting task to write for animation or, you know, comedy. Like I'll for instance, Liar Liar. I wrote the music to Liar Liar, and you have this great performance by Jim Carrey and great direction by a friend of mine, Tom Shadyac. Mm-hmm. And yet it's relentless, so the music has to turn on a dime and change attitude and emotion. You know, just it has to round a corner very quickly. So I think that the biggest difference between animation and, let's say, a drama or something like The Passion is that animation, you're very concerned with, the most minute moment or nuance or eye blink or, you know, et cetera, is of utmost importance. And in something like The Passion, it's obviously more about the emotion of the story and more about the pathos and the angst that the characters are going through. So it's just a different process, but animation is just exhausting in a different way. They're both exhausting, but animation is pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. So because you don't really have an actor performance to play off of for that emotion, do you have to sort of insert that emotion into an animated
yes.
film?
Good point. Absolutely. The music does play a little bit different role in animation than it would in live action, because you're dealing with, most of the time in animation, you're dealing with, you know, a 2D screen, and you're dealing with these characters that are not living, breathing human beings. So that, yes, many times a composer has to add a little extra, let's say a little extra hot sauce or a little extra something, a little fairy dust to sort of help the audience glean what's going on or to give it an emotional thread that, you know, obviously a human actor would be more able to express. So it's a good question in that there is a big difference in the roles that music play with the different types of films.
Okay. So how much do you consult with the director on your scores? Or you just sort of let go and just go compose?
I wish I could let go and compose. No, it's it's completely collaborative with the director. The way it usually goes is I'll write for a couple of days, and then they'll come over and spend a couple hours with me, and I'll play them a bunch of material, and then they'll say, I hate that, I like that, I love the beginning of that, but I hate the end of it, and that's the process. I demo everything fully in my studio here in Burbank, so the directors will hear the fake violins and the fake, you know, flutes, what have you, but at least it'll give them an idea of what it will sound like with the wonderful live musicians on it. So it's very collaborative. It's very hands-on, very collaborative.
So how often do you, when did you start mocking up your scores with these sort of fake violins and fake instruments, basically?
I think I started in earnest around 1996 or 7, because the having, you know, sort of graduating and doing more film work, it became of utmost importance that when the director was in my room, that he have the best experience he can have and get the best idea of what it is going to sound like. So I started to really delve into this area probably around that time. And, you know, one has to buy the very best equipment one can buy, and it's constantly changing. So, you know, these samples, we call them, of the real instruments, are constantly getting better. Mm-hmm. And so you're constantly upgrading. But I would say around 1997, I started to write on the computer, as it were, and not as much on the piano with pencil and paper. And to, you know, fade out from 97 till now, now I'm exclusively writing on the computer, and it makes it a lot easier, especially when there are changes to the movie, which happen a lot.
Okay. So in 1999, you seemed very prolific.
Mm-hmm.
I have you listed down as at least 8 projects. Everywhere you turn, there seemed to be your name was attached to a film. How do you keep it all organized, and how do you keep your sound fresh?
Well, that's a good question. It's a little deceiving, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
Rob. It's some of those projects I might have written a theme for, or
right.
but you're right. There were those couple years that I was just insanely busy, and not necessarily by choice, but anyway, I was busy, and you might find it, the way I look at it is this. I'm pretty good at multitasking, which I think is essential if you're going to juggle a couple of movies at one time. But what helps is if the movies are different. In other words, if I'm writing a comedy and I'm also writing it concurrently a drama, that helps because I can, write a couple of pieces of music for the comedy and then sort of take a few minute break and then pull up the other movie and start writing dramatic music. So in a way it's sort of cathartic that I can put on a different hat and go into that world for a while, and we're all different as people, and that's just one of the things I guess I am, is that I'm able to wear these different hats and pop one hat on and off and then pop another. So I try to keep everything fresh. I'm not saying that it's all fresh all the time, but, you sort of learn that I've learned to sort of be able to, to do stylistic shifts. I've been able to do that, which I'm thankful for, that I'm able to switch gears like that.